Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
And I've entitled the message tonight, That No One Carries Alone. I'll say that again. I've titled the message tonight, No One Carries Alone. A lot of times, church, as believers, as people that trust in God, as people that live for the Lord, you and I may find ourselves burdened. Amen? There's times in our life as Christians, you know, as believers in Jesus, that we can be burdened by different things that life would throw against us, would throw at us. Sometimes those things are the burden of sin. Amen? How many of you have ever struggled with the burden of sin? It's real. Amen? I said it's real. If you don't struggle with sin, I'd be curious to know if you're even saved at all. Because the truth is we're all going to struggle with sin. We live in a world that we're going to be tempted by things. We're going to be challenged in our flesh. We find being burdened sometimes by temptation, by bills. How many of you have bills that have ever burdened you? Raise your hand if you've ever had a bill that burdened you. Come on. Man, you're like, Pastor Duke, now you're preaching my language. Let's come to the altar. Let's pray right now. Right? We've been burdened by bills, by problems. How many of you have ever had a problem in life? I've had problems. I've had things that have gone on in my life that just wouldn't go away. Situations that have come in my life that have come, you know, like Paul said, like a thorn in the flesh, right? Just something that won't leave you alone. It's a problem that never ceases to go away. Or maybe we've had issues with health. That could be a burden for somebody. Where you've dealt with things physically in your body or in your mind. You've dealt with things in your life that were, you know, burdensome to you. You know, for me, you know, and I've shared my testimony with you before, but, you know, I've had health issues my entire life. Since I was 5 years old, you know, been, you know, have all kinds of allergies and asthma. Every day sometimes is a struggle to breathe. Don't think for one second that I don't believe in miracles and I don't trust in God's healing power. I absolutely do. But listen, if God strengthens me in my storm, I'm fine with it. Amen? I'm okay with it. But at times, I can be honest with you and say, it has been a burden. Been times where I wake up and my wife knows, you know, I wake up at 2, 3 in the morning gasping for air and I can't breathe. And it's just this thing that I'm living with every single day. Some of us have been burdened by shame. The things that you've done in your life, the things that you've done in your past where the enemy wants to dig up those old graves and just rub it in your face and remind you of those things in the person that you once were. Shame can be a heavy burden for people to bear. I know people, and I know this one particular, you know, woman that stands out to me that, you know, over the years, you know, she would just tell me, you know, she would come to church and we'd see her for a while and then she'd disappear again and then she'd come to church and she'd disappear and it was like this cycle. It was going on and on, over and over. And I remember asking her one time, I said, "Where are you going? What are you doing? What's going on?" And she just broke down in tears and said, "Pastor Duke, I fall. I fail. I mess up." I said, "Sister, we all fall. We all fail, God. We all mess up." I said, "Don't do the devil's work for him. Don't condemn yourself." I said, don't just, you know, continue to let shame stop you from serving God, stop you from pursuing the Lord. How many of you have ever had the burden of shame? It's difficult. It's challenging. Amen. There's even times where you and I can find ourselves just trying to be a good soldier in Christ and keep on going, or we find ourselves even suppressing burdens, kind of like, you know, out of mind, out of sight. But did you know, church, that God hasn't designed you and I as believers to shoulder our burdens alone? Amen? God has not designed you and I to carry things on our own. He hasn't designed us with the capacity and the ability to shoulder those burdens. Amen? And no matter what the burden is, you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are supposed to help shoulder what is too heavy for us. One thing I love about the New Testament, and specifically the book of Acts, if you've ever read through the book of Acts and you see the early church, what does the Bible tell us that they did? When one had a need, what did they do? They came together as the body and they what? They met the need. When one had some kind of, you know, they were in lack, you know, maybe they didn't have food, maybe their farm and their crops, you know, they weren't growing like they had hoped. Well, guess what? The others would take from what they had and they would help supply the need. What a blessing, amen? I know in one of the most difficult times of my life, I was an 18-year-old young man, and for a period of time, I did not have my own place to live. And it was tough. I didn't know where I was going to sleep. I didn't know where I was going to end up. And I thank God, church. Listen to me carefully. I thank God for the body of Christ. I thank God because in my greatest need, in my time of saying, you know what, I don't know how and where, I don't have the means to come up with a place to stay, I was literally given a place to stay. I didn't have the means to furnish a home, and people helped furnish a home for me. Everything from buying me a mattress to buying me comforters, buying me, you know, the all the essentials, the things that I needed, the pots and the pans and all this stuff. Like, God's people surrounded me with that love, and they said, you know what? We're not going to let you sink. We're going to come to the rescue, and we're going to help shoulder what you're going through. We see the burden that you are facing as a young man in your life, and guess what? We're not going to let you sink. Can I tell you that that's how the church is supposed to operate? Amen? But you know what? There's times, church, that this isn't always the case. You find yourself isolated. You find yourself alone, trying to figure it out, and you're looking to yourself to find answers on your own, where all along, and there's this increasing weight that begins to just compile upon your life because you yourself are trying to deal with it. I know my parents, you know, I love my parents and praise God for my parents and those that raised me. But their generation was kind of one of those generations where they're like, figure it out. Don't ask for help, just figure it out. Don't call if you need anything, you know, don't this and that, you know. And I'm not saying that my parents specifically did that, but that's just kind of how they came from. Assistance or help or shouldering something along with you wasn't something that was necessarily taught. But can I tell you, church, it's biblical. Amen? It is biblical. Just because culture doesn't want us to do it, just because our heritage doesn't want us to do it, doesn't mean that we are not supposed to do it. It means that we need to do it because the Bible tells us that we are supposed to do that. Amen? But how many of you have ever experienced that increasing weight of burden upon your life? And sometimes it feels like there is no way out. Amen? We've all been there in one time or another. We've all faced situations like that. But I want us to learn something tonight, and it begins with this question. We need to ask ourselves this question and say, what is our responsibility to our neighbor? Not neighbor like vecino, right? Even though that is your neighbor, but your neighbor, your brother and sister in Christ. What is your responsibility to your brother and sister in Christ? This is a question that goes back to even the old days of, there was this theologian named Thomas Aquinas, and he meditated on this topic, and he said these words. He says, to patiently endure wrongs done to yourself is a mark of spiritual maturity. Let me say that again. To patiently endure wrongs done to yourself is a mark of spiritual maturity, right? In other words, to go through things, to persevere in those storms. It is a mark of spiritual maturity. He says, but to remain patient in the face of wrongs done to others is not a virtue. It is a failure of justice, even a sin. That is to see somebody that has great need. That is to see somebody around you that has something that they are dealing with, and we just turn up our nose and we just change directions and we don't look at them long enough to have any kind of compassion and we just walk on by. He says in his word, it is a failure of justice. Several years ago during this long distance race, one runner collapsed just yards from the finish line. His legs had given out and his body would not cooperate anymore. And so the crowd, you know, went quiet for a moment. And they were watching and they were unsure what was going to happen next. But then something unexpected happened. Another runner, somebody from a completely different team, stopped and turned around and they ran back to him. And they lifted up this exhausted runner and they wrapped their arms around his shoulders and they began to help him forward. Step by step, they began to move together, and soon other people joined, teammates, even competitors, until the final stretch wasn't about winning anymore, but it was about carrying someone who couldn't make it alone. And they crossed the finish line together. There was no medals handed out for that moment. There was no accomplishments. There was no records that were broken. But everyone watching knew that they had just seen something greater than victory. They had seen what it looks like when people refuse to let somebody fall behind. The picture that the Apostle Paul gives us when he writes, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." That is what that picture looks like. To bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because Life Church has a way of loading weight onto people. Life has a way of just loading this weight of grief and failure, anxiety and regret. And sooner or later, listen to me carefully, every one of us will reach a point where we cannot carry it by ourselves. But the question isn't if we'll need help. The question is, will anybody be there? Will anyone be there? And the gospel answer is this: in Christ, no one carries alone. If you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. So, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." It says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Let's pray for tonight's message. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory and honor, Father. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you administer to every heart present in this place, God, those who might be watching online as well, God. May your word go forth, God, and just pierce the innermost places of our life, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would speak to us, God. Change us, mold us, make us into the image of your Son. In your precious name we pray, and everyone said amen. It was once said, to bear one another's burden simply means to help each other along. It says, if you see your fellow leaning, prop them up. If you see them stumble, help them get their footing. If they fall, pick them up. Paul is giving these instructions, church, to the Galatian body of people, the Galatian Christians, about how they were supposed to live with each other as spirit-filled people in Christ. He's giving these instructions to these people. And in that previous verse, he tells them that when one is caught in sin, others should step in and help restore that person to walking in the Spirit again. Amen? This is the responsibility of the church. This is the accountability that we are supposed to have as the body of Christ. If somebody is caught up in sin, that means if they are turning from Christ and they're turning back to their old life, they're turning back to the old things that God had saved them from, then it is our responsibility as believers to help restore them. Amen? But it was once said this way: the Christian army is the only army that shoots and buries its wounded. Hmm. The Christian army is the only army that shoots and buries its wounded. Pastor Duke, what does that mean? That sometimes the church has a tendency to condemn and abandon or even fail to support others and people within the body who might falter, who might sin, who might fall short, who might experience emotional pain and all these things. And guess what? This is the opposite of what Scripture is commanding that we do. This is the opposite of what the Word of God is telling us we are supposed to do. You see, a church that operates that way, a church that lives that way, isn't Christ's body. It is Christ's betrayer. I've known people, and listen to me, you know, and I don't necessarily subscribe to this completely, but we, you know, in the time that I've ministered and things like that, there's been this new epidemic that has arisen amongst us, and it's not things like cancer, it's not economic issues, it's this thing called church hurt. Church hurt. What is church hurt? It's, well, when the pastor maybe forgot about that it was your birthday, and oh man, you were just in the dumps because, you know, they didn't remember you. Or the ministry leader, you know, they didn't want to put you in some position that you volunteered to serve in because maybe that wasn't your gifting and you got all hurt about it. Or maybe there was something deeper and even less trivial but more real. You know, somebody in leadership offended you or they did something wrong to you. Church hurt can be a real thing. But dare I say, that somebody separate themselves from the body of Christ because the church failed to do what it was responsible for. Amen? Dare I say that somebody was going through something that they could not shoulder on their own, that they needed the body of Christ. They needed somebody to pray for them. They needed somebody to step in for them. They needed somebody to minister to them. They needed somebody to be there for them. And the church wasn't doing what it was designed to do. You see, I guarantee that Jesus is not going to be happy with his body, with the people that he left here responsible as ambassadors of heaven, as ambassadors, as living agents of his word and carriers of his Holy Spirit, if we are not doing what he has called us to do. Amen? A church that lives that way isn't Christ's body, it's Christ's betrayer. It's the Judas kiss that signifies in our moments of deepest pain, burden, or hurt, most won't walk until we see the remedy, but they'll sell us out. You know, I heard it this way, and it was so true that, you know, people won't necessarily remember, you know, everyone that was in their life, but they'll certainly remember those who weren't there when they needed them. Amen? You may not remember every person that's in your life. I've had chapters of people, you know, come and go in my life, you know, for different seasons and all kinds of things like that. But I can sure, as God is present, I can tell you who was there for me when I needed them. Amen? Who was the brother that prayed when I needed that prayer? Who was the person that gave an encouraging word when I needed that encouraging word instead of just passing us by? If in the church we can't share our struggles, then where else can we? Think about that. If in the church, if we cannot share our struggles, then where else can we? If the self-righteousness is so potent that it's turned into religiosity, then guess what? Christ is of no need in your life. Christ would be of no need in our life. Mark 2:17. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." He said, "And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Upon hearing what? The beginning of that verse says, on hearing this. Upon hearing what? You know what he had heard? That he had ate and that he had sat with sinners. The Pharisees were upset that Jesus was actually sitting with people that he was having compassion with. That he was actually sitting with people that were sick in the heart. Amen? They were upset that he was sitting with people that had real needs and they needed real freedom through him. They were upset at the fact that Jesus could mingle amongst those type of people. But they were people, church, in desperate need of forgiveness. Amen? They were people in need of truth, in need of healing and guidance. They needed a touch from God. And Paul's instruction was to gently help restore those people who struggled in sin. This was what Paul first mentions. Can I tell you, church, that when someone shares their struggles, it is supposed to be shouldered in prayer and guided by the word. Amen? Say amen. Wait, are you awake with me tonight? Don't make me jump down there. I'll get you. This is messing with you. What does he say? We are supposed to what? Somebody shares the struggle. What do we do, church? We shoulder it in prayer. You will be of no use to your brother and sister in Christ if you do not even know how to pray. It's a good time to say amen. You will be of no use to the body of Christ if when in somebody is in great need that you cannot utter a word to heaven for them. What point do you serve in the body if somebody says, hey, I am dealing with this, I'm going through this, I am in this great need, and you have no word in your heart to be able to share with them in that moment? I know I'm putting responsibility on you, church. But Paul tells them, help carry each other's burdens. Notice what this means. Being in Christ, church, does not mean that we won't have burdens to carry in this earthly life. Amen? We will. But one of those burdens is the weightiness of our temptation to give into sin and the heaviness of trying to get out of it. Paul wanted us to share that burden and not battle sin and temptation on our own. It was once said this way, trying to fight sin on your own is like trying to carry a burden that God never meant for you to carry alone in the first place. Did you know, church, that the greatest burden you had was lifted off of your life when you believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? Amen? That was the greatest burden that you and I have ever had in this world. The greatest thing that you and I have ever carried in our life. And the beautiful thing and the beautiful truth is that death was defeated and sin was defeated. And your burden, church, was crucified on the cross through the work of Jesus. Amen? Romans 10 and 4 says this, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Amen? He is the culmination of the law. How many of you are thankful that Jesus alone carried that weight of sin? Amen? That he carried that penalty for us. There's no way that you and I could have ever done what Jesus did. Amen? There's no way that any one of us could have taken that burden upon our life. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus went there for you and me. Amen? He made a way for you and I to walk light and free from sin. Amen? But the truth is you and I alone could have never accomplished that. This is why we desperately need Jesus. This is why we desperately need Christ, and we needed Christ to carry that cross for us. That word burden in Galatians 6 means this phrase. It means the troubles of life. That's exactly what it is. It is painting that picture. Burdens, it is the troubles of life. This is what Paul is referring to. In Matthew 23 and 4, Jesus describes the heavy burdens that were laid upon the people of God by the Pharisees. And they weren't good burdens. They weren't, you know, godly burdens, but they were different burdens. And it said that they themselves, they were not willing to lift a finger or to help move them. And what that was that was the burden of legalism. It was this burden that meant that you had to do the law. You had to do everything perfect in order to be accepted by God. How many of you know that that is a burden that not any one of us could carry and not any one of us could fulfill? Amen? If you want to live by the law, you'll be judged by the law. That's what the scripture teaches. But these people were putting something on the lives of people that wanted to trust in God, but it was called legalism. These people, they weren't even willing to walk with people. The Pharisees, they didn't want to walk with anyone in the burdens that they lived in. They wanted to put more burdens upon their life so that they could control them. They were adding to the weight. Jesus uses that same word to describe his burden, though, differently in Matthew 11 and 30 when he says this. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, the reason for having a light burden was described in that previous verse that Jesus said. He said, "I'm gentle and I am humble in heart." See, burdens, church, will come in this life, but they will be light if you and I are in Christ. You see, the way a burden could hit you when you were away from Christ is not the same way that a burden will hit you if you are in Christ. Amen? So I want to read that verse again. Galatians 6:2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Let's ask ourselves that question, though. What is the law of Christ? In the previous chapter, Paul explains in Galatians 5 and 14, he says this, "The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what it summed up to. Is that you and I, as the body, we were supposed to live in this way, to love your neighbor as yourself. I gotta be honest with you, church. I'm the kind of individual that I relate to people greatly when I see things that they're going through that I've gone through. Amen. Is anybody else like that? When I, you know, and I say this jokingly, but you know, I mean, my first, I don't know, several years of, you know, being a vehicle owner when I was a kid, you know, every vehicle left me stranded on the side of the road. First one, transmission went out, you know, on the highway, 70 miles an hour just came to a screeching halt. I had to scrounge up $1,600 to get the transmission put in, and it was tough. And then I was blessed, and I was given this other truck that, you know, smelled like gas, and the AC didn't work, and you know, I tried to get, you know, to church, and the fuel filter would get clogged, and I'd get stranded on the side of the road, and I'd have to jump out in my Sunday clothes and fix it and try to get to church. And I'll never forget one time I was over here on McCall in Trenton, you know, where the there's a Walmart right on the corner, right? And there's a gas station on that corner as well. And I was right in front of the gas station, and, you know, I'm waiting at the red light, you know, and traffic's there, and I'm waiting for my turn to go, and the light turns green, and there's a couple cars in front of me, and they go, and I press the gas to go, and we're not going anywhere. And I'm like, "Oh man, come on," you know, like, it's hot, you know, there's cars behind me, they start honking. Has anybody ever been in a situation like that? Oh man, it's like the most nerve-wracking thing in the world. And I'm pressing the gas, and it doesn't want to go, and I'm like, "Come on, man, like, turn on." And lo and behold, I see an angel from heaven. There's a guy at the gas station, and he's standing outside, and he sees cars honking at me. And I roll down my window. I was like, "Hey!" And he's like, you know, he kind of looks at me, and I was like, "Can you help me? Like, can you push me? Like, I just wanted to get on the road," right? Like, you know, there was a lot of traffic coming through. And he goes, he's like, "Nah." And he just, like, walks in the store. And I was like, "Dude, you know, like, I'm in the middle of the road. I needed help. Like, come on, man. Like, somebody help a brother out," like they say, right? I pray. Oh, well, first of all, before I prayed, I got out, I opened the hood, and I started, like, messing with it. And I jumped back in the truck, and I pray. And I'm like, "Man, Lord, just get me out of the road." Boom, it turns on. Oh, thank God. The light's, like, yellow. I'm like, "I'm going. I don't care." I just press the gas. I go through the intersection. Guess what, church? I didn't close the hood. The hood flies up. and I'm going through the intersection like, ah, you know, I'm trying to get to the other side of the road. Finally, I get to the other side of the road. I stop it. I slam the hood shut and I get to work. I've seen people that are going through that. And they're that person. They're in the middle of the road. They feel the burden. They feel the people behind them. They feel the anxiousness and the pressure of the moment. And I see so many people pass them by without a care, without a concern, without even offering help, without saying, hey, can I help you? Can I, hey, you know what? My truck works. You know, maybe you need jumper cables or something, I could just help in the moment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If it was you going through it, how much would you want somebody to help you? How much would you want somebody to be there for you? Galatians 3 and 19 says, why then was the law given at all? It says, it was added because of our transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. He says, the law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party. It says, but God is one. Verse 21, is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? He says, absolutely not. He says, for if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. He says, but Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't a Pharisee? Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't come to burden your life with heaviness? And he didn't come to bind you to the law. And he didn't come to keep you bound to sin or to failure or imperfection. But he came to lift the unliftable burden that you and I were too weak to hold. And that was the burden of sin. Amen. I'm grateful for Jesus. But you want to know why this is so important that we realize, church, and that we know and that we live by? Because the truth is without knowing that you're freed in Christ, you'll never be able to carry the burdens of another. Without knowing that you are truly free, you'll never be able to shoulder what somebody else is going through. I believe that a lot of times you and I have all felt like we have nothing to offer somebody else. Say, man, what can I do about it? How can I help? And we feel that way sometimes because we feel like our own head is barely above water. We feel like our own life is barely making it. God, how could I help somebody, Lord, when I'm barely getting by even myself? This is because, church, all along, you and I have carried what was he was meant to shoulder. You see, if you feel like you're drowning, it's because you're carrying things that God alone can shoulder in your life. Amen? 1 Peter 5 and 7 says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Imagine having a friend. Imagine having someone so powerful as Jesus that you could cast every worry, every care, every problem, every issue, every burden of life, that you could cast it upon Jesus because he cares. Sometimes we're quick to vent to our best friend. Sometimes we're quick to turn to things and we're just drown ourselves and just try to drown out the noise of the situations that we face in life. But listen to me carefully. We cannot ignore things because what you don't address will continue to grow. Amen? What you don't deal with in your life, it's going to continue to burden you. It's going to gain weight. It's going to haunt you eventually. And Jesus gave us this promise. Jesus gave us permission. He says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I'm grateful that I have a Savior that cares. Amen. I'm grateful that we have a Lord that sympathizes with our weakness, that realizes what we are going through. And so this is what we have to do as the body. We have to release, church, what's been reconciled. We have to release what has been reconciled, because in order to carry someone else's burden, you and I have to be free. You and I have to be free in our own life, and we have to let go of what Jesus nailed to the cross. This is the burden of Christ. That he came and he sacrificed himself to reach out to you and I, that he bore the sins of man for man, because guess what? We cannot bear the sins of our brothers and sisters, but we can bear, church, the burdens of each other, because we all suffer under the weight of sin, whether there's sins that are known or not. You and I can be compassionate to those of us in this room. We can be compassionate to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can share the promises of God. We can pray. We can forgive. We can sympathize. We can encourage. We can empathize with people. That's what shouldering burdens looks like. Romans 12 and 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, but mourn with those who mourn. How many of you celebrate when somebody else is being celebrated? Amen? That was a weak amen. Some of y'all are jelly, man. I can tell, right? You're like, oh, well, they got the promotion, not me. You know, like, all bitter about it. You know, like, you know, don't be that way. What does he say in the scripture? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Man, if we can't rejoice with somebody that's rejoicing, there's issues in our heart. Amen. There's things that need to be dealt with. But if when somebody else, when God is doing something in their life that is a blessing, man, be blessed for them. Be happy for them. But what does he also say? Mourn with those who mourn. When somebody is going through something that's hurtful or heavy, he's saying, go to that place with them. Go to that place and say, hey, I'm hurting with you. I may not know what it's like to experience that hurt. It may not be that close to me, but because you're close to me, I hurt for you. Amen? You may see people that are affected by the death of a loved one, and maybe you never knew that person, right? But you know the person that's affected by it. And you reach out to them because they're mourning. Everything in between, church. We are supposed to sit in the ashes with them, even if you and I cannot fix the fire. We're supposed to allow their tears to matter enough that we don't look away. Man, when somebody's going through something, I can't help but hurt with them. When I see that it's genuine, that it's real, like, man, like I go there with them. I may not know exactly what it's like that they feel or they're experiencing, but I know that it's hurtful to them. You and I, church, are supposed to step into the pain instead of just standing away at a distance. We are supposed to feel the weight of what people carry, even if it's not ours, because guess what? This is exactly what Jesus did for us. This is exactly what he did for you and I. When was the last time that you celebrated with someone because of what God was doing in their life? Think about that. Or did you just criticize it, you know, them from afar? Or when was the last time that you stayed silent to let somebody cry on your shoulder? When was the last time that you listened to let somebody pour out their heart or their fears or their weaknesses or their hurts? Romans 15 and 1 says this, we who are strong. Now let me just define this for a second. We'll all be weak at one time and we'll all be strong at one time. Amen? Right now could be a strong season for some of you. Right now could be a weak season for others of you. Amen? But he says, we who are strong, I believe that means like in the moment. We who are strong, we ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. I remember one day I was speaking to some young men in my office. And it's funny because I had every intention of pouring out my heart. That's I called them into my office. I said, I need to share something with you guys. And I had every intention of pouring out my heart in that moment. And I started to. I started to just share some personal things because these people were close to me and They were confidants. They were people that I trusted to, you know, pray for me and things like that. And I began to share. And as I began to share, you know, somehow in the conversation, I became the listener and I'm listening to what they're going through. I was kind of like, man, didn't I start first? Like, thought this was my moment, you know. And I'm sitting there, and next thing I know, this young man starts pouring out his heart. And instantly, I forgot about myself. I said, Lord, I need to be present for what he needs me to be right now. I need to engage with his hurt in this moment because he is going through it. He's feeling the heaviness, Lord. In that moment, I just prayed in my own heart. I said, Lord, allow me to say something, God. Allow your word to flow from my lips to just bring encouragement to him in that moment, God. You see, church, let's keep on going with that verse. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Sometimes we just want it to be about us. We just have to stop and say, hold on. What does he say in verse 2? Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. You say, you know what? My burden can wait. My thing that I'm dealing with can be put on pause because they need me in that moment. You see, if we're not working out our salvation together, church, then we aren't fulfilling the law. Amen? It's demanded of us to lift one another up for every burden, both sin and shame and suffering and lack. But the truth is this, is sometimes people won't share anything or something with somebody else because they maybe feel that they can't trust you with that prayer or with that encouragement. See, we need to become trustworthy people. We need to become people that, you know what, if they need you, you're ready. If they need you, you're willing and you're able, amen? But can I say this, church? When somebody trusts you as a confidant, that means when somebody pours out something to you, listen to me carefully tonight, when they share with you information that is personal, that is private, that is secret, if you will, listen to me very carefully, church. That information is meant to be taken to the Lord. That information that they share with you in that moment is meant to be taken to the Lord and not to shame that person to the ears of somebody else. Amen? Because that's what church hurt looks like. When somebody spilled the beans of somebody's business that they were going through to bring shame and condemnation to their life. You see, a lot of times when people do share with you, when they come to you with a burden, they are counting on you in that moment to shoulder that burden with them. In scripture, when God called Israel to leave Mount Sinai and begin to march to the promised land, the people, they had to organize immediately. They had to get ready. And there was 2 to 3 million Israelites at this time. It was a lot of people. This was a lot of people for Moses, their leader, to deal with at that time. And so they needed people to step up. Moses was like, man, there's 2 million of y'all. Like, how am I going to deal with all this stuff that you guys could be going through? And Moses even broke out in prayer that God would increase their numbers 1,000 times to bless them just as he had promised them. But there was this weight of leadership that was too heavy for Moses. Moses is like, man, I can't deal with all of this. And so he remembered these very words that he had cried out years before when the first generation of believers had come. And we see this in Deuteronomy 1 in verse 12. He says this, he cries out, he says, but how can I bear your problems and your burdens and your disputes all by myself? Moses is like, how am I going to deal with 2-3 million people's stuff? What does he say? Choose some wise and understanding and respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. What was the point of this? Moses was leading this huge movement of people, but as with any movement, there would be opposition and there would be burden, and Moses was burdened by this fact. But the truth of the point of that was this. Not any one of us in this race of faith was ever meant to run this race alone. What does that mean? That means that not any pastor was supposed to run this race alone. Not any leadership was supposed to run this race alone. Not any teacher or helper or servant of God. No one is supposed to run the race alone. Here's the big point. People, though, cannot shoulder what you don't share. Some of you feel burdened, and some of you feel heavy, and some of you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world, but you've yet to share it with anybody. Guess what? I can't shoulder what you don't share. I can't take that stuff to the Lord. I can't offer you a word of encouragement when you're sitting in your pity party and you're going through all of your stuff. Nobody can do that if you don't share it with somebody. Amen? So we're called to share and shoulder each other's burdens. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be alert and be of a sober mind. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What does he say in verse 9? Resist him. Standing firm in the faith, he says, because what? You know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I believe, church, that we must never be seeking just our own good, but as the scripture says, be seeking the good of the others. The enemy is already working fast and already working hard against many of you that are even sitting here tonight. He's been working in your heart and in your mind. He's been trying to devour you. He's been trying to get after you. He's been trying to discourage you from keep on going. He's been trying to knock you out of your assignment. He's been trying to just remove God's call from your life. But listen, church, I believe that it is important for you and I to understand this and this alone. You and I must stand firm in this race of faith, and we must be willing to shoulder things that people are going through. Amen? We must be willing to do that, because when the enemy strikes, if nobody is there, if the, just like the scripture says in Ecclesiastes, the cord of two strands could be easily broken, but a cord of three strands is not broken. I believe that that's you, a person, and Jesus. We need each other, church. We need to be looking out for one another, just like the scripture says, we need to be our brother's keeper. We need to be responsible for one another. And I believe that that time is now, church, because even though people get attacked in their life and people get discouraged in their life, people will fall away. Listen to me carefully, if nobody helps them. People will fall away if nobody shoulders what they're going through, if nobody encourages them. When I see the church, I remember Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. It says this, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Peter was in prison, and everybody could just said, like, well, you know what? Golly, that's too bad. I see stuff like this happen in the church all the time. Somebody's in the hospital and nobody visits. Somebody's going through some kind of financial burden, and everybody's like, hey, you know what? I hope you're doing well. Really? No, I've told you I'm not doing well. I need help. Peter was in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And the scripture says that while he was in the jail cell, an angel of God, church, was sent. The church is praying, and an angel of God is sent, and light fills the cell, and he tells Peter to get up, and the chains fall off his wrists, and Peter followed the angel out from the prison, church, to the home of the people that had been praying for him. And guess what happens? Peter knocks on the door of the people, of the church. When he knocks on the door, they don't even realize it's him. They're still praying, amen? And great, Omar's following me. Look at what it says. When they recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed and she ran back without opening the door and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. Go to the next verse, Omar. You're out of your mind, they told her. Pause. The church is praying for Peter. Peter's miraculously released out of prison. This servant girl comes and reports the news. Peter's at the door. You know, I can imagine, you know, like you're laying in the valley, everybody's like, you're out of your mind, servant girl. What are you talking about? There's no way that he could be at the door. There, you know, we're praying for him. They literally said she was out of her mind when she kept insisting. So then they said, it must be his angel. Verse 16. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Did you know, church, that there is power in prayer? Amen. There is power when you call upon the name of Jesus. There is great power when you and I shoulder those things and we take them to the Lord. Great power, church. Power that will even blow your mind. The very people that were in prayer for this man couldn't believe it. Mark 2, we find Jesus in a crowded temple, and he's teaching the word. And it was so packed in their church that there was no room for anyone to get in. And there was four men that wanted their paralyzed friend to be healed. And so guess what they did? They made an opening in the roof to lower in this paralyzed man to Jesus. And the Bible says in Mark 2 and 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. This angered the Pharisees that were present because they said, why does he talk like this? Only God could forgive sin. This is blasphemy. In verse 8, it says this, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk? He says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on the earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. And he got up and he took his mat and he walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Did you know, church, that none of that would have happened without his friends shouldering his burden? None of that would have happened in this young man's life if they had not carried him to Jesus. I finish with this. One day there was a father who decided to take his son to play at a local park. And this young boy quickly gravitated to this sandbox, and he found himself mesmerized by the colors and by all the textures and all the things that were surrounding him. And after a little while, after a short time, he began digging in this sandbox to see what treasures might reveal themselves to him. And so as his hands were plunging through the sand, he discovered something rather large. And having pushed it enough of the sand away, he realized that it was this large rock. And instantly he knew that he needed to move this rock, no matter how big it was. This rock was the obstacle to his dreams of a sandbox clear of all this extra matter. So the boy tried as hard as he could to move the rock. He pushed and he pushed and he pushed. And finally, he was able to get it to the edge of the sandbox. But the next step would be the very hardest. How was he going to get it over the edge? Again, the boy was pushing and he was straining until all of his energy was completely drained out. The rock's stuckness matched the boy's feelings of the situation. And eventually, this young boy began to sob. He began to bawl. He began to cry his eyes out. And the boy's father was watching all of this. And just when the meltdown began, the father went over to his son and he began to comfort his overtaxed and worn out boy. So why didn't you use all the strength available to you to move the rock? The father asked. And the boy was confused. He said, I did, Daddy. I did. He said, it's just too heavy. He says, no, son, you didn't. He said, you didn't ask me to help. And at that moment, the father lifted the rock with a single hand and he threw it out of the sandbox to his son's delight. Tonight, I believe we need to pray for one another. Tonight, I believe we need to shoulder each other's burdens. Tonight, I believe it's fitting that not only do we take our burdens to Jesus, not only do we take them to the perfect Father, to the Holy Spirit, but we allow one another to shoulder those things as well.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.